And we're back. We should add at some point, like the little cutscenes or whatever for the music.
Get some music.
Yeah, playing in the background. We were talking about, of course, your player of the year. I know some of you guys like to find your new gems and stuff that you've seen break out through the years. Do you have a specific player that you think really broke through this past year amongst the youngsters?
What is the age limit we're thinking about here? 24? Is that the PFA Young Player of the Year? I think 24
is a good one. You know when, yeah, like in career mode, they start progressing or something.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
I want to throw in one really quick before we get started on the young breakout players. Yeah. I thought Bono isn't a young person. He's also like a good goalkeeper outside of the World Cup.
Yeah.
But he has never been a household name until his performances over the past few months.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been like, if I had to say like a breakout player of the year, just in terms of like coming into his own and being, yeah, underrated, like becoming a household name a little bit, is Bono. That would be my breakout player of the year. But 31 years old might take him out of the youth player cap on FIFA careers.
Yeah. I mean, yet again, isn't he like a keeper? So he probably has like 5-10 years left.
Still got it. Fair. He's anywhere like Buffon. He's still got 28 years of football left.
And Buffon was playing like on Thursday night, on Wednesday night, against, whenever. He's like 40 plus. Huh? Yeah, against Inter. And making saves. They almost knocked him out. Tav, I know you're on to this.
Yeah, my young breakout player, also my player to look out for in 2023 is, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Kavica Kvaratskhelia. I think that's how you pronounce it. And Napoli just looks so strong in the league. Batter Juve the other day, up 10 points clear in the league right now. The team themselves is so dynamic. I hope they stick together for at least one more season. And I hope they go far in the Champions League. But he's 21. And he's really coming to his own. I think they got him for a bargain, Rob, 10 million maybe?
Yeah.
10 million for him. And they're going to sell him on for 100, like guaranteed. I mean, he's but I hope they keep him for a couple more years. But yeah, that's my young player of the year. Just no one had heard of him a year ago. And now he's going to, if he's not a huge name yet, but he will be when Napoli wins the Champions League.
For how crazy that is, like, especially anyone you ask here in Italy after last night and what they've done to Juve, first of all, they're going to be so thankful, but more importantly, they're gonna believe that, especially with everyone else crumbling, at least in Italy, but even in Europe, like they have Frankfurt round of 16, and who knows after that they can really focus.
If they played Liverpool every round of the Champions League, they would win the Champions League. Napoli is the kryptonite for Liverpool. And has
what was it? They beat them 4-5-0?
4-0.
Yeah, 4-4.
Yeah.
4-0. And 1-0 like last year, 2 years ago. Like it's just...
Oh, yeah. Before that, yeah.
And also, I mean, the masked man, Osimhen, how old is he? He's not old.
He's 24. 25 max, that's for sure. I think he's 1997.
He's still growing in FIFA. I'll count him in. I'd put him in there as well. Leading Serie A.
Between him and Kvaratskhelia, I have no clue how they're going to... I mean, obviously, it would be great to see this team for how good they are to stick together one, two seasons, especially if they go far in Europe. Like, they could feel motivated to like run it back because they could really go far.
Really, but fingers crossed.
How do you tell someone like Osimhen after a season like he's having? Like he's seems like clearly above all the difference maker number nine, at least in Italy. If United comes knocking, as much as United have the legendary Anthony Martial as their number nine, if they come knocking with their 120 million that they give to anyone nowadays, who's gonna stop him? He was obviously gonna go. Same thing with whoever wants Kvaratskhelia. And obviously with like five times the salary for these individual players.
Yeah. It's just so hard for the smaller. I mean, not to come out really a small club, but it's just so hard for them to, it's like, it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. And that's what the game is. And the owner of Napoli, he's a businessman after all. They all are, but he, as soon as he sees money, he turns into Mr. Krabs and just leaves anything up for grabs.
What an analogy, Rob. Good idea.
Team above in the league, Brett.
Who's my young player of the year. I'm thinking under 21, and there's so many names that like you can choose from. Jude Bellingham, for example, Pedri, Saka, Gavi. But I think Musiala, especially in the World Cup. I know that Germany was incredibly disappointing. And for Bayern, he's been so class and developed as a goal scorer, as well as a playmaker. And for Germany, I know that this is sort of an arbitrary statistic, but his something like touches in the box and like significant passes or key passes, like led the World Cup group stages, I think. And he's 19 currently, I believe.
O-3.
So I think O-3. That's, yeah, I don't think you can find a more talented player under the age of 20. And it's just kind of a matter of if you can sustain that sort of prolific goal scoring that he has had in Bayern and for Bayern and sort of replicate his experience with Germany elsewhere.
And I can't wait to see him in their Euros 2024 that they're going to host. He keeps growing and could be like the leader of their next generation of team. That's going to be exciting. And same thing with Bayern. Noah, which Southampton legend are you going to?
Yeah, Sekou Mara. No, I'm just kidding. I think I was going to say Musiala. I think other than that, maybe I'm trying to remember his first name. It starts with a J. Gvardiol, the center back for Leipzig. Oh,
Josko.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then I got to see him a lot more during the World Cup with Croatia going on the run that they went on, and he was kind of the centerpiece of you know, of their entire defense, and their defense was a big reason that they went so far in the tournament. And you know, 20 years old, he's already getting looked at.
I was very surprised that Chelsea have seemed to be on a shopping spree since the new owners came in, but went cheaper for their center back. I mean, yet again, it was their third or fourth center back they already bought. And after splashing money on Fofana this summer and Koulibaly and now the French guy, Badiashile, and all that, when for some sort of that same range or whatever, they could have gotten a top 11 center back from the World Cup. As simple as that, as big, as powerful, fast as he is. Lefty as well, which is rare nowadays for center backs. I think they passed down a big one. Who knows? They may still buy him because they're just spending so much. But I'm excited to see where he's going to end up. And I think he can be a big, big signing for whatever big team is going to snatch him up. But yeah, I think we've mentioned quite a few Bundesliga boys, and I'm going to keep that trend. I feel like my picks are pretty safe and simpler compared to you guys. I simply went for Jude Bellingham. I mean, I've seen him called the biggest English midfielder since the 2000s golden generation. He's, 19, and speaking of 03 boys, wearing already the captain's armband when Royce is not around for Dortmund, which is very often, and just carrying that side. He's not just captain just to wear the armband and raise his value. He's dragging that team, even when they're not doing very well, and shows leadership beyond his years. And I hope he doesn't go to Liverpool because he would make them so good again.
That would remedy so many issues in Liverpool. It would be so wonderful to sign a player like Jude Bellingham.
He seems to be like buddies with you guys.
Yeah. Him and Trent are like always photographed together and stuff. So,
and Henderson, they're kissing after that
set. Would be wild.
We started already looking clearly onto 2023 and the excitement, whether it's for your team or other components of this year. What is the one thing that you're really looking forward to this year?
I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a new manager and seeing like if we're actually going to get some creativity for the U.S. men's national team for the first time in our nation's history. You know, I'm getting a little sick of the classic American, maybe we'll make the tournament, maybe we'll just go out in the quarterfinal, who knows, but we're not going to do anything special. And it's kind of just like knowing that it's disheartening going into every international tournament. I'm also excited for the first, I think we play, Southampton plays Brentford, the first game out of the transfer window, and we're linked with some interesting players from, there's this, I think it's Dazen Maeda from Celtic.
Yeah, yeah.
That we're linked with at forward. And I'm kind of excited to see if we bring in some attacking threats, what the team's going to look like, especially with Bella Kochap coming back from injury and Tino Livramento getting back into the lineup too. And I'm excited to see what the 2023 brings and if Nathan Jones has that spark to get us mid-table again.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm looking forward to, I'm really interested to see what Tottenham ends up doing with this transfer window as well as the summer transfer window. I think you've got some really big signings in these last couple windows, Bentancur, Kulishevsky, and Richarlison, all being really big names. But my hope is that they start bolstering the wingback position that Conte loves so much and bring in another center back. I think you look at Spurs' attack on paper, and you can't, I mean, there's obviously you have City and you know, maybe Liverpool at one point, but it's pretty hard to argue that they're not top three or four in the league. But I just think everything behind them is not good enough. I think Bentancur is going to end up staying. And I think Cuti Romero will end up staying. And outside of that, I don't really see a long-term future for many of those players outside of maybe Højbjerg. And Lloris is obviously on his way out. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think they've made smart, savvy signings, but it'll be interesting to see if they continue to go smart and savvy or they go for a big money transfer. Looking forward to that for sure. And then also just it'll be interesting to see if Conte ends up staying. I don't really have an answer. I think the Spurs fan base is actually pretty frustrated with him. And so we'll just see what happens. It'll be really interesting. I really want Richarlison to get a big role in the team. And just be that guy that he can be, that he shows he is for Brazil. And I mean, you know, we're of course so Spursy that the man starting for the Brazil national team can't even get into our team. But I'm hopeful that he's able to find his way. So we'll see.
You read my mind. I was about to ask you literally. I mean, on paper, the Spurs side seems so good, but something's missing, not clicking. What is it? And more related to it, like, do you back Conte yourself, or is the issue anywhere else?
I think, you know, we lost Eriksen, and we've never replaced Eriksen. So that creative, deeper sitting midfielder, and you watch him play for United. I mean, he's unlocked them in so many ways. Obviously, the Casemiro and Eriksen signings of this summer window are probably going to be looked back at as two of the best signings in the Prem. And Spurs needs to find someone like that. You have midfielders like Bentancur, you have Højbjerg, who are more defensive minded, you know, maybe more box to box. And we just never have been able to fill that void that Eriksen had. So I would be looking for a creative kind of number 10. Some think it's Kulishevsky, but I see him more as a winger, just how he seems to naturally play. My real chaotic, I really want to see them play Kulishevsky, Richarlison's son, and Kane all at the same time at some point with Kulishevsky at the 10. But we'll just see what happens. But I would say a creative midfielder is really what they've been missing. And ever since Eriksen left. And with Conte, I do back Conte. I think he's a great manager. You look everywhere he's gone, he's had elite players at key positions, especially in my mind, wingback. I think with Chelsea, you saw players like Marcos Alonso, Moses. Victor Moses.
Yeah.
He was able to get elite performances out of players who were not rated as elite. Then goes to Inter with Hakimi and Gosens and just these really high quality players. And my hope was that he would be able to bring the best out of players like Emerson Royal. you know, Jed Spence. And up to this point, we've just turned in really, really disappointing performances from our wingbacks. And that's always been something that's so key to his system. And it just has not been working at Spurs. So hopefully either we bring in some quality and he's able to unlock that, really make it happen.
I just want to back Kulishevsky. He's so, so talented. And every time I've watched him play, it's just been sort of like electrifying. He's young too. Is he 24 or?
Really young, yeah.
Not even. I think 22. Younger. He's a 22? Okay. 2000 kid.
Yeah. No, I think he's able to put up elite at the 10 or on the wing. Play for Tottenham. And even though I don't love Tottenham, I would love to see him perform well. I think just to answer your question, Rob, about what I'm most excited for, and I don't have much to be excited for regarding Liverpool, and I'm not a huge sort of national team fan of the US, and I think the job search will be really interesting, but I'm not sort of emotionally invested. But I sure am emotionally invested about the Liverpool Real rematch in the round of 16 Champions League game on, I think, February 21st, in late February, which I think will be incredible. And if I know anything about years of watching Liverpool play, it's that we could either get killed this game, or we could beat Real despite having a really, really disappointing Premier League season in the league specifically. So it'd be so funny if we qualify. This was the case in 2018, I believe, or 2019. I'm not sure where. If we won the Champions League, we qualify for the Champions League, but we were not in a position of qualification otherwise. So that'd be a fun outcome.
I will say, if you know me as a person, I'm kind of like a hater-esque type individual.
No,
and hearing
no.
that a Liverpool fan,
are you
after
not?
Taking so much from us, hearing that a Liverpool fan has nothing to look forward to in this calendar year, it fills me with so much joy that I will leave this podcast. And I might go get like a celebratory dinner out of this. I'm like, that's how happy I am right
you,
now.
You're fueled us tonight. It's like, you like to see others perform that you dislike,
it's like my
perform
pre-workout,
for,
yeah.
rather than yourself win. It's a real complex.
You gotta take what you can get.
Oh, you can get more, my friend.
Thank you, Noah.
Noah, you made a great point earlier. You were talking about the US team, and why do I seem to see football as such a popular sport in childhood, even cousins of mine who have no connection to football whatsoever, but suddenly by college time at the latest, it gets dropped for whatever other sport or whatever. It seems like just a hobby during childhood, but not anything past that. What was your guys' experience, if anything?
I will say I've thought a little bit about this because I've been trying to figure out ways that I think that you could change youth soccer in the US to make it more interesting. And I think there are three issues that really briefly that I find in it. And the first is like there's really no glory that kids see to be had playing soccer in the US. Like you have a lot of other countries and you grow up thinking that you could be the guy to bring your country some form of glory. And I don't think kids in the US necessarily have that. When they're thinking about soccer or when they're thinking about sports in general, it's more closely tied to like bringing that in football or basketball or hockey or volleyball even. And, you know, the visibility of seeing US players doing good on the national stage, I think now is helping kids be a little bit more invested because they see that they could do something in soccer coming from the US. And then, at the college level, I just don't think there's enough investment in pushing out the sport at that level and enough investment in the teams themselves by the NCAA, you know, teams. When you think about the budget that they'll spend on like football or basketball or volleyball. And then just really quickly, because I want to give everyone else a chance to answer, because I know people have to go different places. I think that the biggest problem is we have a lot of youth programs in the United States that are just kind of money mills.
Yeah.
And you have these parents coming in and like they're paying all this money for their kids to be on some like this team's in the elite team. This team's like the academy elite team. This team's whatever. And it doesn't really mean anything because it's all just like money pits that they're not bringing in good coaches. They're not bringing in good equipment. They're not setting up good facilities. They're just giving these labels to kids and their parents. They feel a little bit good about where they are in soccer, and it's not actually doing anything. So when they get to the high school or college level, they get so disheartened that they're not actually what they've been told their whole life, or they haven't been given the same access to, like, you know, I mean, it's not even access. It's, I don't know. I just think that's one of the biggest, my biggest issues is these youth clubs that don't do a lot for US soccer, but that they just make a lot of money. And because they make a lot of money, they can kind of corner the market too. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree with on that last point, Noah. I think I remember when Zlatan Ibrahimovic came over to the MLS, he was very critical of US soccer, saying how in Europe, we don't make our children pay. We don't make parents pay to play. And that's exactly, I think, a huge root of the problem in what you just said. You're forcing people who otherwise, you know, you're making the game exclusive. Some people can't afford that. You're already discriminating in that way from a big talent, potential talent pool. Another word that Rob came up with as, you know, hobby, you said hobby when you were this up. I think that's just it. You know, it's not like other countries where this game is your life. It's just not, you know, I'm a coach, I coach youth soccer, and, you know, the kids that I coach, they play 3 hours a week, and most of them don't touch a ball unless they're, you know, practicing with me. You know, I think the culture in other places is the thing to do, the things you do with your friends, how you meet people, how every, you know, your whole life revolves around that. In my experience, you know, traveling to other countries, there's soccer fields everywhere. Kids are playing at all hours of the day. It's what they do at night, you know, and that just doesn't exist here. And that's why we are always behind, always playing catch up. And until some of that changes, it's I think you are going to see a lot of round of 16 exits. I'll just say that.
Hopefully round of 16 exits, like a good tournament. Success. My point will be brief, but I think the culture is a big thing. I mean, I'm all for these, like, a critical critique of the, like, commodification of youth sports in the US, for example. I think there is so much ground for that, and the reason why the US national team doesn't have success in major tournaments. But I think it starts sort of at the cultural level also, which could be linked as well. Like, I think I'm a perfect example of what I'm describing. I'm like a avid sports fan and have been since I was a childhood. And the fact that I didn't pick up soccer until I was 14 or 15, really, I can name like the offensive line of the Lions, the NFL team. But and I could do this when I was 16, but I had no knowledge of soccer. And now obviously I do, but yeah, there's no tie between national identity and soccer that there are in European nations and South American nations and African nations and everywhere else outside the U.S. And I don't think until that cultural tie is made that the U.S. can perform at a level like Europe, for example. I think there's loads of factors that play into that, but. It's definitely interesting to think about, and I don't know how to go about changing that, but I do think it starts on the youth level. I mean, obviously to develop children into good soccer players, sort of doesn't start with a dollar bill.
Mm. That's a good soundbite. That's fantastic.
That was great. Wow.
That's the grad student, eloquency that we're all missing.
Yeah, I'm just undergrad. I have undergrad eloquency.
You're literally a grad student, Noah.
No. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Law school.
Yeah. You're fighting against
me as what's the word? Just fight back against everything. Contrarian as possible.
Contrarian. I forgot about that. You have the perfect occupation for who you are.
Yeah, it's actually
it's like, I'm going to take it as a compliment too.
Little did we know that all that time, Noah was just practicing for law school. He's going to credit all his success to just pissing Brett off and wild hot takes on the Packers.
And, if anybody listens to this, Noah has been my mortal enemy since I met him. I love him to death. He means the world to me, but he gets under my skin in a way that makes me violent. And I am such a pacifist, but Noah Morris really does something to me. It's profound. He has this great effect on me. And all he has to say is like mean things to my face when I play FIFA with him, for example.
It's a glorious lifestyle when you build this character for yourself that you have to put like a minuscule amount of effort into saying a sentence, and it just like makes someone's day worse. It's a talent at the end of the day. It's amazing.
You're incredible at it. You really
you thrive. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, Rob.
All right, boys, I got to get going. I'll talk to you guys soon. This was super fun.
This was great. I think this was a very good round. Thanks, guys, and hope to see you in the next episodes in the future. Take care now.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you soon.
See you guys.